Arthur Stable from Newsday in New York joins us once again. Arthur, welcome back to the show. How are you, my man?
I'm good, Jason. How are you?
I'm excellent. The Islanders, John Tavares, despite a little bit of a slow start, you know, that team, he's picked it up now, but their team is still very competitive. A good, goal for goals against ratio at plus 24. Only Chicago, Florida, and Washington are better. What do you think they will be looking to add if you're Gar Snow between now and Monday?
You know, I think it's really going to be a focus on depth pieces. I definitely think there's room for a top line wing for John Tavares to kind of get him, the consistent scorer that he's lacked the last year or so. But I think balance is really the key for where this team is right now, and they don't really want to upset that balance. They're playing a lot better, a lot more consistently over the last 6 weeks or so. And, I think they're maybe looking for a 12th, 13th forward to plug in every so often, or maybe another depth defenseman, depending on what some of their young guys can do here right in this week before the deadline. So nothing that's a big splash. They don't have a second-round pick. I don't think they're inclined to give up their first unless it's somebody with term, and it seems like it's a rental market right now.
Well, for sure. And as the rental market goes, I know the Gar Snow is somebody who values draft picks. He's taken a few picks over the years that people, were like, I'm not sure. They got two picks for Griffin Reinhart last year. Do you think he's somebody who would deal multiple picks at this point?
You know, I think the one time he dealt the first rounder, which was in the Thomas Vanek deal from a couple of years ago, it didn't end up looking too good for them. And certainly, he'd probably be reminded of how hard it was to unload Vanek at the deadline a couple of years ago when we were all actually in Edmonton for that one. I think bearing that in mind and knowing that even though it's probably going to be a pick in the 20s, given that they have no second, he does like to, he's been good at maneuvering back into the first round when they don't have a pick, as they did last draft, obviously, with Edmonton. But I think, for now, given the prices that are out there, I think Andrew Ladd was probably a guy they would have loved to have added if it wasn't for such a high price. And really, they've only got four really bona fide forward prospects among their top picks in the last few years in Matthew Barzal, Anthony Beauvillier, Joshua Hosang, Michael Dalcol, and I don't think they're inclined to give up on any of them right now. So that kind of limits you about what you can do. And I think, honestly, Gar Snow likes his team when they're healthy and playing the way that they have for these last few weeks.
The defense core for the Islanders is very solid. Everybody knows the Hamonic situation and likely something will be addressed in the offseason. But when they get healthy, how do they run their pairs? Because I look at Travis Hamonic, he plays the most minutes, and I look at his competition, he faces a lot of the tough ones. Who's his best partner, or I guess most consistent partner?
It's been Calvin DeHaan this year. He's been out for a little bit here with a lower body injury, but they, quietly DeHaan has matured in this, his second, third full year in the NHL into a guy who is very steady, does a lot of things smartly and well on the ice without much flash. And, that having that top four of him and Hamonic and Nick Leddy and Johnny Boychuk, and then a fifth guy in Thomas Hickey, who's been plugged in now to be Hamonic's partner with DeHaan out, that's five pretty good guys. And then they have a sixth spot, whether it's Brian Strait, Marek Zidlicki, who's a veteran, or Ryan Pulak, who was their first-round pick from a couple of years ago, who might get into the game in Edmonton on Sunday for his NHL debut. That's a pretty serious rotation that they've got, and I think it's reflected in the way that they've played defense and the goaltending that they've got in the last few weeks, giving up two goals in the last three games. And, that's without DeHaan and kind of thinning out their decor. So, the Hamonic trade request, like you said, definitely going to wait until the summer. And even then, depending on what they do in the playoffs, I think Gar Snow is going to find it difficult to let this guy go, given how many minutes he plays, how effective he is in this group, how important he is in the room with his personality and his presence, and that incredible cap hit that they got him on.
Yeah, well, and that's the thing, right? But do you think Travis Hamonic, who I think has been the ultimate professional throughout this, do you think that maybe in the summer he said, hey, guys, come on, I think I've done my part. And clearly there's a personal thing here that's behind the scenes. It's nobody's business, and I totally respect that. Do you think, though, that the Islanders, Gar Snow, as much as he doesn't want to, might just say, okay, it's probably the right thing to do. This kid has never complained. And the thing is, despite asking for a trade, it hasn't impacted his game because he's been very consistent.
Yeah, that's the remarkable part to me, is that we're, you know, 3 or so months out from this. And, you know, they lost those first two games right after the bit of a circus with the word leaking out and Hamonic giving a pretty uncomfortable press conference and having to talk to some teammates who maybe didn't know about it. And you thought maybe it could fracture the team and it would force a move right away. But he's steadied out. The team has steadied out and gotten past it. And, you know, I think, like you said, the scenario could come this summer where Travis Hamonic and Gar Snow sit down and Hamonic says, I've been a good soldier, and now it's, you know, I really need to make this happen, and Gar Snow will try to do it. Or it could go the other way, where Gar Snow says, there's just no deal I can make that will allow this team to keep improving, and you're too important, and maybe there's something worked out where it just doesn't happen, or it gets put on the back burner, or he can handle being a New York Islander with his family situation, because there just doesn't seem to be that perfect match. I mean, you know, everybody talks about Winnipeg, and obviously that's where Travis is from, but you know, I don't see a Jacob Trouba for Travis Hamonic deal helping the Islanders in the short term, particularly if it becomes a big salary issue with Trouba's, you know, contract demands coming up. So you know, I think the summer is going to be a time of some serious conversations and possibly a lot of upheaval for this team. So I think for right now, they're trying to keep things as quiet as possible going through this deadline, especially when they're playing well.
Arthur Staple, beat reporter for the New York Islanders, joins us. What's your update on Oposo? Do you think there's a chance of him and the Islanders reach an agreement, or is he going to be an unrestricted free agent in July?
I don't think there's a chance of any agreement before we get to, you know, draft time, that's for sure. You know, I don't even honestly think there's going to be much contract talk with their other unrestricted free agents, who are Franz Nielsen and Matt Martin, who I think are guys that would probably take more reasonable deals and maybe are a little bit more coveted for the roles that they play on the Islanders. I think it's just, you know, it seems like there's a lot of guys that are, you know, unless you're a restricted guy who, you know, isn't going to be, you just need to lock up and you're already going to, you don't want to let it linger too long. So, you know, where your cap status is going to be, these unrestricted guys, it seems to be that everyone's waiting until the draft. There's maneuvers to be made. And, you know, Gar Snow is always a very patient guy, and I think he feels like, you know, he's had these guys for a long time. He knows roughly what they're looking for, and I think when the time comes, they'll make their offers. And, you know, as far as Kyle Oposo goes, I don't think they'd be close right now if they were really going to start talking contracts. So that one's going to wait. And if there's a long playoff run that Kyle Oposo figures prominently in, maybe things will change. But I think for right now, he's headed to July 1 in the open market.
What's the best evaluation of Oposo? He's 20. He'll be 28 in April. You know, 6 feet tall, thick guy, 215 pounds. He had the 69 point season 2 years ago. Last year injured, but still solid numbers. 51 in 60. This year, a little bit of a dip, not much, but 46 and 47. How much of it is Oposo? How much of it is Tavares?
Well, not much of it is Tavares this year, because they haven't played more than a few minutes together at 5-on-5. They play together a lot on the power play, and I think that's where Oposo has really excelled this year. But you know, I think he's one of these guys that's been projected as that top line right wing, and maybe on another team with a different set of forwards, it might mesh better, it might fit better. But I think the Islanders have some questions as to whether he can be that guy who deserves to be the second highest paid guy on the team eventually, when Tavares gets the blank check that he's going to get as a potential unrestricted free agent. But, you know, I think they see some of their younger guys as having a little bit more potential than Kyle Oposo. And on the open market, I'm sure someone will give him the 6-7 years and maybe upwards of $5.5-6 million if it comes to that. But I think, you know, the consistency part, it's hard to get, you know, 60 points every year, depending, you know, unless you're one of the handful of super elite guys in this league. So, you know, Kyle Oposo is a hard worker, and he gives you whatever he has every night, and he does go on scoring streaks. But I think 5-on-5 for the Islanders, they're not quite sure that this is the guy who's should be paid like a number one forward.
Yeah, and that's really, you know, the question when I look at it is he, now he's not playing 5-on-5 with Tavares, when he isn't, does he drive the line that he's on?
You know, he plays with Franz Nielsen and has a lot this year. And Franz is, you know, is a guy who's incredibly underrated. You know, even as much as we talk about him being underrated, you know, he's really the only guy on the team who plays power, you know, significant power play and significant penalty kill time. And he's one of the better skaters on the team. So, you know, I think he and Opozo work well together. And, you know, Kyle is not quite that guy who can create a ton for himself just yet. You know, he's got a good shot. He can be very strong in the corners and off the wall and around in front of the net. But he's not an elite skater. He's not someone who's going to fly up the wing and you know, do some damage with things in transition. So, you know, I think, you know, when you get to free agency, and especially a guy who's at that age and with those numbers, he's going to get paid, that's for sure. And I think the Islanders, just having had him for as long as they've had him, are, you know, and the way that the salary cap is structured, and as cautious a guy as Garth Snow is, it's just a hesitation, I think, as to whether they want to pay him that big number and be committed for that long.
So, Arthur, I'm looking at the Islanders, and as far as free agents go, Opozo and Franz Nielsen would be the top two for sure. A guy who's a really good fourth liner in Matt Martin's another one. But if they had a pick between Nielsen and Opozo, when I listen to you, I'm thinking it's going to be Franz Nielsen over Opozo.
I just think it's the versatility that Nielsen brings. You know, he's a guy who has been around for almost as long, and maybe longer, I think, than anybody else here, and seen a lot of losing. He's a very soft-spoken but candid guy inside the room to the media, and he just plays through pain, tries to improve himself every year. Took a very below market deal last time around when he was probably going to be a pretty coveted guy. So I think, you know, they're going to have to come up with maybe 5 years for him, closer to the $5 million mark. But I think, you know, even as he's turning 32, a guy who keeps himself in good shape, and whether he, you know, he's a second line center right now and a power play guy, if he were their third or fourth line center and playing 15 minutes and being more of a penalty kill specialist, he'd excel at that too. So I think they feel that his versatility is more important to them than maybe Opozo's scoring and kind of straight ahead, more straight ahead style.
One last one for you, Arthur. Do you think Jaro Halak is a guy who can, you know, help the Islanders get through a few playoff series? Is he good enough in your eyes?
Well, when he plays the way he's played this past week, I'd have to say yes. You know, giving up 2 goals in 3 games after a pretty bad stretch. You know, he's had some ups and downs in his career, and you know, I think whether he was when he was with Montreal and he had the great playoff run and a cup in St. Louis, and certainly for a lot of the season last year, and especially in the playoff series against Washington, where the Islanders were incredibly depleted on defense and playing such a high-powered offensive team, and he really kept them in that series and almost won it for them. Yeah, I think they feel he can be the guy, and you know, he's a little bit more. It's a throwback to some older style goalies in terms of his temperament. He's very hard on himself. He's not as easygoing as I think you'd like a goaltender to be these days. But you know, I think the fact that he had the dip recently and they were able to get through it because Thomas Greiss has been so good as his backup, and now he's really picked up the mantle the last 3 games and run with it. And you know, the fact that they can have confidence in both guys. Even in a 7-game series, you know, you look back at that Islanders Cap series, and Braden Holtby was sick for Game 2, and the Islanders came out and could have run over the Caps, but Philip Grubauer held them in enough, and Washington pulled themselves together and won, and the series could have been very different there. So I think the Islanders feel like if they've got the reliable backup in Greiss, and they've got Halak playing well as he's challenged by Greiss to be a little bit better, that they're in a good position having both goalies going forward.
Arthur, always great to catch up with you. Enjoy the trip. We'll see you in Edmonton on Sunday.
You got it, Jason. Thanks a lot, man.
Arthur Staple from Newsday.